Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing the disastrous opening of Disneyland. Here's what you need to know.
Walt Disney will step forward to read the dedication of Disneyland.
Yay! To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world. Thank you.
No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish will come true.
When contractors began clearing 160 acres of orange groves in Anaheim, California, to make way for an amusement park, Walt Disney and his beloved films such as Snow White, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Dumbo, Bambi, Cinderella were already household names. Since his childhood days at Kansas City's nearby attraction, Electric Park, Walt had dreamt of his own magical amusement park. When he became a father, Walt would spend his Saturdays with his young daughters at local parks, but he often found himself bored after an hour or two. He wanted to create an amusement park where both children and adults could spend an entire day exploring and having fun together. Post-World War II seemed like a perfect time to introduce a theme park in California. There was a growing American middle class who could afford automobiles and had more leisure time than ever before. But a theme park wasn't an obvious choice for financial investors. At the time, most world fairs and carnivals weren't quite family-friendly, with a reputation of being dirty and run down. Unlike the typical amusement park, Disney wanted a polished, perfectly manicured design that would rely on storytelling and optical tricks used in filmmaking to transport guests to a completely different time and place. Walt Disney's vision was strange and unproven, but with a sketch of the park by artist Herb Ryman, he was able to secure a $9 million bank loan, supplemented by $5 million in loans from ABC. After only 1 year of construction, Disneyland was set to open in the summer of 1955 with an invitation-only opening event on July 17th. During the opening ceremonies, Walt Disney dedicated the park to, quote, the people of the world, young and old, with a dream in their hearts. Following Disney's speech, a massive parade led by Disney characters such as Cinderella, Dumbo, Pluto, the Mad Hatter, and Sleeping Beauty marched down Main Street and into the theme park's four different realms. Adventureland featured its star attraction, the Jungle Cruise, where guests piled aboard such riverboats as the Amazon Belle, Ganges Gal, and Nile Princess for a spine-tingling ride past wild hippos, elephants, and crocodiles, all plastic replicas. Frontierland evoked the open wilderness, and guests could explore Davy Crockett's Museum, a Native American village, and a Golden Horseshoe Saloon by way of stagecoach, wagon, and walking trails. Tomorrowland was dedicated to the future of the space age and featured the attractions Rocket to the Moon, Astro Jets, and Autopia. And Fantasyland opened with Sleeping Beauty's Castle, Dumbo the Flying Elephant, the Mad Tea Party, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Peter Pan's Flight, and the King Arthur Carousel. But as guests continued to flood into the park, what began as a simple press event turned into a Disney disaster. While 15,000 tickets were delivered to studio employees, film stars, civic and business officials, press, and their children, counterfeit tickets led to a swarming crowd of nearly 30,000 on one of the hottest July days on record in Anaheim. Traffic was backed up for 7 miles on the Santa Ana Freeway. Refreshment stands sold out of food and drink. And by early evening, Disney police had assisted in reuniting 15 lost children with their parents. Because of the heat and last-minute construction, women's high heels sunk into the soft asphalt. Most of Main Street was not completed, and of the rides that were operational, many of them malfunctioned early in the day. The Mark Twain steamboat nearly capsized from too many passengers aboard. The biggest scare was a small gas leak underneath the castle, which briefly lit up in flames. Animator Ollie Johnston recalled, quote, "Kids were crying and suffocating, and I was about to quit the studio at that point. It was such a mess, I went home and watched it on television. It was nip and tuck, but we made it," sighed Walt Disney at the end of the day. "I don't expect the place will ever be finished. That's what I like about it, that it will always be growing." Fun facts, aka death stats. Disneyland was built on what was a 160-acre orange grove of approximately 11,000 orange trees. The theme park cost $17.5 million to build over the course of 1 year, using 2,400 workers and designers for an estimated 85,000 hours of labor. Most of Disneyland was built in 5/8 scale, creating an optical illusion that makes buildings and attractions appear farther away, closer, larger, or smaller than reality. The highly anticipated opening day festivities, including the dedication and a parade, were covered by ABC with a 90-minute live special, Dateline Disneyland. 90 million viewers watched the coverage of the theme park's opening. Today, Disneyland hosts more than 18 million visitors a year, who spend close to $3 billion. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello, hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is just a delicious treat, Amanda Lund. She's
Alarmy.
Back.
Me. I'm so happy to be back. Do you even remember me?
They do.
They do.
They really do.
They ask for you all
the
time.
They write about you.
I'm not really upset about it.
I don't know if you've listened to any episodes, Amanda, but this show's really gone off the rails.
Wow. Well, I have to say I'm flattered, and I'm so happy to be back.
Well, Amanda, you're the perfect guest for this. Those are my puppies. They're mm-hmm. so riled up to have you on the show. Because not only are you a SoCal girl, but you actually used to work at Disney.
Yeah, so I grew up in Long Beach, which is about, 20 minutes from Anaheim, where Disneyland is. And working at Disney is kind of like a rite of passage in a way. I feel like a lot of people, especially young people, would at least have some sort of summer job there, because they do, they employ so many people. But I was one of the characters. That's right, guys. I was a Disney princess.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
we
amazing.
We love it. We know it. We can see it. We love it.
Many different princesses, or were you one particular?
I was the trifecta. So I was Cinderella.
Of course.
Princess Aurora, a.k.a. Sleeping Beauty, and Ariel, the Little
wow.
Mermaid. So
wow.
those were my three gals. And then on a special occasion, I did play... This is a deep cut for you Disney freaks out there. Megara from Hercules.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure there are a bunch of people out there. That, Disney gets around. People know Disney.
Hercules, one of the lesser loved movies, but one of my favorites.
I have a question for you, Amanda, just related to this, because we were reading some of the details about this opening, and they said that after the big speech that Walt Disney gave, a bunch of characters from the films led everyone into the park. And in my mind is like, I have this picture that like all the OG, like Cinderella. So it's like a picture of like the original actor who played that role in like the Disneyland break room. Is that true? Or
It was actually me.
Oh, wow.
I am.
You look great for your age.
Yeah. Oh, there's a big shrine to the original.
The
Cinderella.
Original princess. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not even sure. I've got to look into this and see who were these original women. I feel like they were just like Walt's like nieces or something, probably playing the princesses. But what's funny is that was an actual shift. When I worked at Disneyland, they had the opening shifts. So you'd have to get there super early. And when guests would wait at the front gate, the characters would be there. So if you're at Disneyland that early, I don't know if they still do this, when the gates open, all the characters would be there. And we'd literally just like walk with the guests down Main Street. And it was so magical because there's no one there. It's empty. You're just walking down this beautiful Main Street with you hold the hand of a little kid and you're just like skipping down Main Street. And I can only imagine the excitement of the very first time Disneyland opened their doors to the public because I still get that thrill every time I walk through those gates.
Sure.
Amazing. So what am I going to say here? Amanda?
You can go anywhere with this one. I have a few questions, but maybe we should jump into the topic.
I was going to say my brain was processing how I haven't asked you what you're alarmed about these days. But
God. I mean,
it's too bad, really, because we were in such a wonderful place. We were warm.
Yeah, we were in a happy place.
And it's just my job to make sure we're always...
You just got to bring us down.
Exactly. I don't want us to be at a 10 of happiness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, because I am so in the mental space of like entering the gates of Disneyland, mm-hmm. what is alarming me is the current lengths of the lines. Theme parks and
really
specifically Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I am, and because that is one thing. And the other thing I have to say, and this is just me being nitpicky, because as you can tell, I am a Disneyland fan. And I don't know, are you guys?
You are.
Okay.
Love it.
Okay. But Rebecca and Chris, you don't strike me as like, go to Disneyland.
We're not Disney people. And even I'm from Florida, and I have a lot of Disney World people in my life in Florida, big fans, but we just never got into it. I think that's something like maybe as a kid, if your parents are into it as well, then you kind of go with it, but maybe not.
Well, look, I mean, Rebecca created the podcast, the Alarmist podcast, right? And so I think, you know, if we had a motto, or if we had a personal motto too, this sort of, it wouldn't be, it's a small world. It would be, it's a big and complicated world.
And so I'd like to go on that ride. It'd be a fun ride. Oh my God.
The Alarmist version of Small World. How frightening would that be?
We have to keep our eye on the big and complicated world so that all these youngsters can, like you two, can go and enjoy your day of fun in the sun. That's sort of where we are at, I think.
You know what a big thing about Disney is? It gives me anxiety, really. A trip to Disney is anxiety filled for me, because all I can think about is wait times. You know how they have all of the wait times? Like,
there's an app for it now.
Yeah, well, yes, but I would spend my time trying to plan out when was the best time to do the rides. And for a person like me, it's just a lot of stress.
It's so much. And that's kind of what I was saying about the lines that are actually alarming me, because I feel like, yes, A, they're getting longer. I actually don't love the technology being integrated. I understand why they're doing it, but at the same time, I hate having to go on my phone to buy a corn dog.
Oh.
And you know what I mean? I'm just like, let me just like tell you, give me a corn dog.
You just want Gaston to walk up holding two in his forearm, on his forearms, and hand them to you, and you just open your mouth and take a big old honking bite.
Yes, I just want to eat, a corn dog out of Gaston's mouth. Is that a crime?
That's the adult side of the theme park that many people don't know about, but it's there.
Yeah, I hope we get there, because just thinking about sharing a corn dog with another human being we don't know anymore are we in a post-pandemic world? We're still in a pandemic world. It's very hopeful, Amanda. Mm-hmm. I really hope we do.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too. And I'll tell you, it's worth it for those corn dogs. I mean, Clayton, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and you fought with some Dole Whip. It's a great day.
Literally, I went to Disney. And the thing is, I'm spoiled. So when I go to Disney, I still have connections that work there. So I get signed in for free, you guys. I'm not paying for a ticket. Sleepy, so I don't feel the pressure if I have to go on. Yeah, sneezy. Chris is so old school with his Disney references.
What are you talking about? That's a classic. Not old school. It's a classic.
It's a classic. Yeah, it is. But yeah, so I'm not having to feel the pressure of going on every single ride. I'm like, let me pop in. I went when I was like 9 months pregnant, and I got a corn dog and I got a Dole Whip. And I think I went to the tiki room and then just like wandered home, and it was perfect.
I will say I think the best Disney trick is you get the season pass, right? Because it takes the pressure off of having to do everything.
Just commit to the pass.
Get the season pass, and then you know what? You have that in your back pocket at any point. You can say, you know what? If we don't do this today, we can always come back again sometime.
But guys, I have really scary news for you.
Oh boy.
What's that?
No.
It was not always a wonderland like we're discussing
what
about
do you
right
mean?
Now.
Could you expand on that?
Look, I'm getting, as I was researching this episode, I was getting some Fire Festival vibes here. I mean,
and Woodstock, right? Because of the asphalt. I was like, Walt, no, the asphalt. We know it's death for an event.
Right.
Even Disney is not immune to these simple mistakes.
Mm. No, and it didn't have the glorious start we might think. Mm. It wasn't just like open those gates like Amanda was, and Amanda was waiting for you. It was a little rocky. Day one.
Also Action Park vibes too.
Yeah.
A fire at the castle. I mean,
right. Disney's so, you know, like they are such perfectionists, you know, they really control, like their quality control is so intense. And this is, there's just like too many moving factors. A live park with like people, like you can do all the organizing you want, but there's just going to be some amount of chaos, which is why this is going to be fun to talk about.
Yes.
So why don't we start by putting up on the board the counterfeit tickets?
I can't believe this. Who would dare?
Says the person who never pays for a ticket to get into Disney.
Yeah. It was Sneezy. Sneezy was making the tickets and making money on the side.
Okay, this is according to Designing Disney. The event did not go smoothly. The park was overcrowded as the by invitation only affair was plagued with counterfeit tickets. Only 11,000 people were expected to show up, but by mid-afternoon, over 28,000 ticket holders were heading for the Disneyland, causing unprecedented traffic jams. Mm. What a nightmare. WDW Magazine said counterfeit tickets were widespread, which caused the 15,000 planned attendance to nearly double. Traffic to drive to the parking lot outside of Disneyland was backed up for 7 miles, and arriving at the gate took so long that a number of guests hopped out of their cars on the highway to go to the bathroom.
Yikes.
Oh my God. Gives me immediate anxiety. Yeah. I really relate to that. I really do.
I would just go in my car, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you have to?
I think that's what trunks are for. Yeah.
Yeah.
The extra guests caused cast members to struggle to balance occupancy of attractions, which led to lengthy ride breakdowns and reports of overcrowding. One such overcrowding incident the media highlighted when reporting on opening day was the Mark Twain riverboat, which at times took on water due to the weight of so many guests forcing their way on board.
I didn't know Mark Twain was a fictional Disney character. I always thought he was a real writer. That's pretty good, I would say, of Walt Disney to come up with that kind of character.
And write all those books.
Yeah, and write all those books to create that fiction. That is like...
He's really committed.
Honestly,
he's committed, yeah.
Maybe I am a Disney person. That is like really impressive.
You should go.
But can you just imagine these people just like hopping on the logs?
Yeah, where was the staff to be like, no, don't, too many people.
It was day one. They probably weren't trained.
Right.
Yeah, that's so crazy. And I will say, though, a true Disney fanatic would pay so much money to go back and experience the chaos of this opening day. Right. Because there is a novelty when you go on a ride, like you go on Space Mountain or the Haunted Mansion and the ride breaks down. You just won the lotto.
Yeah.
Because
you're stuck there with the animatronics.
Is that true?
Yes, because sometimes they'll turn the lights on and you get to look around and see sort of, you know, like all the little inner workings of stuff. So I just feel like it actually would be really, I wouldn't like to go back because I'd be too scared of the crowds. And like, I don't want to be on that boat if it was going to sink or something, but
plus the
I
risk
do think
of
there...
time travel, I think is pretty high.
I'm sure Walt didn't even realize the demand to get into the park. So like who would think that there'd be counterfeit tickets?
You think Walt was like wallowing, like nobody's going to come.
Yeah, you think he had anxiety about people showing up? Where he was like, hope people get here.
Yeah, like to his birthday party.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably just didn't know how starved these people were for
or Disney.
Just entertainment.
Gosh, he really tapped into something, didn't he? But that's a good point. I think when it's like when you're watching a play and one of the actors forgets a line or something, or gets like pukes everywhere. You're like, oh wow, that probably wasn't supposed to happen.
But aren't you glad you saw it?
Yeah, you're like,
it's a good story.
Nobody's seen this show.
I'm struck by how post World War II Disneyland is the idea of Disneyland. You know, it's like we just went through two wars, a depression. We're finally, like, we have a little
ready for some joy.
Bit of money in our bank accounts, and people are just going wild.
So how would we categorize that to put on the board? Would we say, like, Disney deprivation? Up until that point, they had been deprived of their Disneyland.
Entertainment or like a thirst for entertainment?
What's it called when there's that term for like places? Oh, like entertainment desert.
Ooh,
you know how they say it called something like a food desert where you don't have access to like, you know, produce and stuff. So maybe there's something like, entertainment desert.
Yes.
Sure.
People were ready for it. And it was such a big sensational thing. I think we should also put this Dateline Disney broadcast that was happening on day one. Mm. So this is the Disneyland from the Disneyland story, Sam Genowee. Industrial labor relations expert Van Frans speculated that July 17, 1955 was selected as the date for the grand opening because of the production schedule of the television show rather than the construction schedule on the site. He said it would take 1 year to plan and execute such a complex show for an expected audience of 90 million. 90 million!
Wow.
They were limited to a day that the Disneyland television show was scheduled to be broadcast, and mid-July was the last possible date for capitalizing on the summer tourist season.
Oh, there you go. There's another thing you can blame is summer tourism.
Mm-hmm.
You can blame...
That's like, yes, so you're renovating your house summer and you're like, I'm moving in on this date regardless of whether they're done, right?
Right. Well, that was like the Sochi Olympics in Russia, right? They weren't even ready for us. And they were like buildings made of drywall that like the athletes had to stay
in. Right.
I mean, again, Fire Festival.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, exactly. This was not as big of a disaster. I feel like Walt Disney really did have the skills to pull this one off. But that like last minute, you know, putting the asphalt on the ground.
Well, it's like King TV. Like TV is king, you know, like they had to get it in this broadcast window. Mm-hmm. So maybe we blame the television, the power of television.
Mm.
And I would imagine Walt Disney and their, you know, they work in the TV and film world. So they would defer to that rather than being like, no, the park's not ready. Like they're just like, no, we'll be ready for your broadcast.
Yeah, in a way I understand because that's how I work. I always need a deadline. So a lot of times I'll set a deadline and then I procrastinate until the last minute.
Sure.
Cinderella. Like when I used to edit the Alarmist episodes, I'd always be doing it on Monday for the Tuesday release. Mm-hmm. But I loved having that deadline. But in a way, I think it's kind of admirable that they, you know, pushed through to make this happen. And yeah, did the castle light on fire? It did. But as far as we know, no one died. I think just a couple pairs of heels got ruined.
That's right. And a few kids got lost, but they eventually reunited.
Yes, which is a rite of passage. Honestly, a rite of passage to get lost at Disneyland.
Did you ever get lost at Disney?
Oh, yeah. The opening of Toontown was not unlike the opening of Disneyland. And I was there and I went through, I got separated from my family. I took a detour through in Mickey's house.
Okay.
I was Amanda's always looking for house interior design ideas.
I was. Yeah. I wanted to go see the bedroom. What do you get done with the bedroom? So, yeah, I was probably on my own for like a half hour. Found, you know, if you ever get lost, you find a mom and you just go hold that mom's hand. That mom will take care of you.
That conflicts with the don't talk to strangers policy, too, to me, in my mind. But I guess
if you're going to talk to a stranger, talk to a mom.
Talk to a mom. I agree with that 100%.
It's a good instinct.
I love that you were separated for a half hour. Like, it sounds like you were having a good time being separated for like the first half of it.
And then sounds like a break, a family break, really.
Like Mickey will take care of me.
I also want to put up on the board our listener suggestion. Melissa H820 said, Walt himself, throw him up on the board. And his execs trying to meet a deadline when the park wasn't ready. Sadly, execs still make those same exact mistakes today. Melissa's not wrong. I read in Disney, designingdisney.com, during the event, Walt Disney didn't know about all the things that were going wrong. His attention was consumed by the Dateline Disneyland live broadcast. It wasn't until the following day that he became aware via press accounts of what had happened.
It's amazing, right? I think, you know, it depends on where the cameras are pointing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just talk about how 90 million people tuned in for the opening of Disneyland? When was the last time 90 people did anything together on television? I don't even think the Super Bowl gets half of that.
90 million.
Really?
Not since streaming services.
Right.
Right.
Now we're all watching, you know, like a million shows.
90 million people tuned in for that Battle of the Sexes tennis match.
But that was like, what year?
1973.
Okay. I'm saying like recently.
I know. I just Googled.
I don't think that would happen. I really.
No, it won't.
Let's put the Rush Construction up on the board. This is according to WDW. Well, Chris, keep seeing if you can find out when how many people tuned into the Super Bowl.
Or maybe like an Olympics opening? Or,
yeah. Would that be? Oh, yeah, an Olympics opening. Again, this WDW magazine, with the ABC program promoting the project on national television and investors waiting for their returns, construction had to be rushed to reach the company's projected opening day. Another consequence of rushed construction was found in the park's concrete, some of which was poured so close to the opening that it did not have time to fully set. As a result, women who wore heels to the park during its opening sometimes found themselves sinking in the concrete, while other guests who sat on benches found their seats sinking slightly as well.
Wow.
Can we just all take a minute to imagine wearing heels yes. to Disneyland?
I was just thinking that. That is a real commitment for a day walking around. Doesn't that seem exhausting for your poor feet?
Your feet would be covered in blood.
Oh my God. Covered in blood. The 50s were crazy for women.
They truly were.
Gender
roles
were.
I mean, just imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bow down. I know, but actually Disney still has one day a year called Dapper Days, where people dress up in like 1950s, you know, fashionable clothes, and the ladies wear little hats. You know, you can imagine the type of person who wants. And I think they might even, yeah, like wet the concrete so you get that same experience. The sinking.
Did you have to wear like, you know, glass slipper heels as Cinderella, or were they much more functional so that you weren't in pain?
You guys know what I'm talking about when I say I was wearing character shoes.
Yes.
Character heels. You know, it's like this type of like little spray painted silver character heels. So they were actually really, really comfortable.
Oh, okay. That's good.
That's
good.
You're talking about a two inch heel. And it's
at most. And I think you could go a little higher, but I was keeping it low. But yeah, we were wearing heels.
Now, I find this really interesting. This is according to Disney historian Dirk Libby. Several attractions that were part of Disneyland's opening day are still with us today. Autopia, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and the storybook canal boats, then called Canal Boats of the World, were all there on day one. However, not all the attractions survived their first contact with crowds. Attractions like Rocket to the Moon and Peter Pan's Flight broke down on the first day. Dumbo the Flying Elephant and the Casey Jr. Circus Train were supposed to be day one attractions, but both would be closed on July 17 and would open a short time later once they were actually ready. The worst problem, however, came when the Mark Twain Riverboat was filled to capacity. The boat essentially sank in the lagoon. took half an hour to get the boat back on track. Work on Disneyland was being done right up until the minute that television cameras started filming, and maybe that's why there was a gas leak that forced the closure of Fantasyland, Adventureland, and Frontierland for a few hours. The leak caused the flames near Sleeping Beauty's castle.
So I have something to put up on the board.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you guys helped me phrase this, but something about Walt's priorities being in the wrong place. He was more concerned with image and sort of like having more rather than making sure what was open was actually functional. So maybe it's something like raw priorities in the wrong place.
Or like image over function or brand over function.
Yeah, that could be good. I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just thinking about Disney and how image conscious it is, right? It's like very grandiose. Everything is made to look bigger and farther or something. It's like built.
Or small. Yeah, they built it very specifically.
Well it's a all, you know, it's a all like a consuming, like it's like it's truly, it's like you're walking into a fantasy land. Like it is all about the visceral experience, even as far as like you walk in and you're smelling those corn dogs and you're smelling the popcorn. It's just like really piquing all of your senses. And the other thing with Disney, I don't know if this is how it was when they first opened, but you can't see anything outside of the park. So, you know, when you go to like Universal Studios or Magic Mountain, it's like you can like see the parking garage off in the distance. Like Disney, you 360 up and down, you're just immersed. It's immersive. That's the word I was looking for.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I haven't been podcasting in a while. I'm a little bit rusty. But yeah, it's super immersive. So I wonder if that was part of it. Like he wanted, yeah, he put image before function. I think that would be good.
That's okay. Good. And a true lesson. Now, I know that we have to start knocking things off the list soon, but I want to put up Plumber's Strike.
Tell me about it.
This is like real insider here. Okay. WDW Magazine said the company ran into a number of issues with vendors and third-party contractors that made finishing the park by mid-July 1955 even more difficult. A local plumber strike caused a number of issues during construction. With limited plumbers available to work on the park, Disney had to decide which areas of plumbing were necessities for opening day and which areas could be completed later. Doesn't feel like a great idea, but no. Continues. The outcome of the plumber strike ultimately resulted in limited drinking fountains around the park and long lines for restrooms, as not enough of them were built by the time July came around. Some media outlets even accused Disney executives of intentionally limiting water fountains so that guests would be forced to buy drinks in the park.
That would be bad.
Valley Times, July 4th, 1955, wrote, "A plumbing industry shutdown is expected in Southern California tomorrow following a strike for higher pay in the San Fernando Valley and in Orange County. The striking AFL plumbers have demanded a 12.5 cents an hour wage increase immediately. Another 5 cents on January 1st and an additional 1 cent starting on that day." Imagine those demands, like 12 cents.
I want to know how much did a corn dog cost back then? That's what I want to know, if that's
great
the wages that they were demanding.
Question.
Like 5 cents for a corn dog? Like
imagine how many really corn dogs, about. How many corn dogs I could get.
Because like now they're like $20, which seems crazy for like a corn dog. I'm making that up. But
I think they're probably like $11.50.
Yeah. Which seems like a lot of money for just a corn dog, you know?
Absolutely.
It's a big corn dog, though.
Yeah. You're there. It's justified. We get it.
Amanda is so pro-Disney. Like, nothing you can say can bring Disney down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what I'll say about what I love about Disney and what I think is truly unique about it, is that it really is like when you go to Disney compared to another theme park, like every ride, it's not just about like the ride. It's about the story. Like every ride tells a story, and it's not about, you know, there's not a lot of like big roller coasters that are trying to like, you know, G-force and figure out. It's like you are immersed and it feels like really inclusive, and you kind of get lost in the magic versus just like the scare of going on a big roller coaster, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. But I will say that Disney on a crowded day can really suck, especially hot crowded day.
Yeah.
So that's why like Clayton and I know it's like you go on a Wednesday when it's raining or you go on like Super Bowl Sunday. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's why I would not want to attend opening day back in 1955.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Avoiding crowds is my Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't able to find the price of a corn dog, but a cream corn, 3 cans was 38 cents, and hamburger pricey meat was 89 cents for 3 pounds.
Okay. What would a hot dog cost?
Your brain. You have such a special brain, Chris, where I love that. I see, like,
you see
like
where I'm going with
and
this?
Corn.
You can
yeah
kind
like
of do the math from there.
We can function a corn dog out of
it. Hot dog would I cost feel, at a fair or
I,
something?
I
you don't
feel
know
like
what a corn dog is because it's definitely not hamburger, like, soaked in wet cream of corn.
Well, I feel like a good Alarmy member can take that information and come up with how much a corn dog would have cost.
Can you imagine how they would serve something like that at Disneyland? Just like a slop of meat and wet corn.
Oh my God.
I guess that is very opening day. They're like, we didn't have time to get the corn dogs.
That is so funny. That is so gross.
Chris, I'm still very curious for the hot dog prices. And I'm curious, how much an entrance, how much was a ticket to Disneyland?
That's a great question.
In 1955. I feel like Chris is working. He's tip-tapping away.
This is the job of the fact checker. It's hard work.
All right. Well, do we have anything else that we want to put up on the board while Chris
should
is
we?
Swings?
I was just going to say, do we want to just put like the heat, this heat wave that the was heat? Happening on
yeah,
the day?
Yeah, I got to put the heat up there.
Just July. July should, we should be, well, I guess it's more August in Europe. People just like shut down. It's just like, it's too hot. We shouldn't be doing anything. Everyone go on vacation, relax, go to the beach.
Right. Take a siesta.
I feel like July, I don't know, in Southern California, it's like July, August, September, even into October, it's really too hot to be doing anything. So we should be taking those 3 months off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I feel like we have a good list going on. Why don't we take a quick break and then start knocking things off?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
All right. Who's to blame for the disastrous opening of Disneyland? Was it the counterfeit tickets, historical entertainment desert, Dateline Disney broadcast, summer tourism, power of the television industry, Walt Disney and his executives, rushed construction, Disney image before function, plumber's strike, or extreme heat?
I got this information for you. A hot dog in 1956 was 25 cents. And the ticket prices for Disneyland when it opened, $1 for adults, 50 cents for children.
Okay.
Not bad.
Yeah.
What is it now? Like $200 for a park hopper?
Something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It's pretty. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, a ticket is for adults is 4 hot dogs. But today a hot dog is $11. And so that would mean the ticket would be $40, but it's not. It's like $300.
Wow.
It's so expensive. It's crazy. Imagine taking like a family of four.
No.
I know. That's
you're
a
spending
big day.
Thousands of dollars.
Holy smokes. I'm seeing that Disney 8-day park hopper plus tickets is now 653 to 828.
But that's for 8 days.
Yeah.
8 days. I mean, who's going to go? There's not
that's
enough.
Too
I mean,
intense.
Maybe Disney World, you could do 8 days, but Disneyland, you need, I'd say two days is good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm seeing like it's in the 130s, single day tickets and stuff like that.
That's just for Disneyland. If you want to go to California Adventure,
right?
You add on. But
you guys
we
are
digress.
Such pros.
and I'm sure there's that. Things that you can pay for on the app that get you to the front of the line that'll cost even more money.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to go on a VIP tour where you get to like skip the line?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
It's almost like you start to wonder if Walt Disney's whole purpose here is to actually, like, this is a business for him. Like, you wonder if that's what he's going for, is the money.
I mean, do we put capitalism on the board?
It's yes. What are we doing?
Yeah. Although I will say, it doesn't sound like that was priority when it first opened.
I agree.
Can argue that you can make a very good argument that now that's what Disney's all about is the bottom line. Mm. Especially with them, instead of going with original rides and attractions, it's all about that, like, Marvel IP and, Star Wars Land, which definitely seems like, a cash grab. So, but back in the day, I wonder, it seems almost more like it was Walt has had his head in the clouds.
Mm.
I agree. It seems like this was his dream, and maybe California Adventure is when the capitalism really comes into play, because that's when they start cashing in on the new IP.
Yeah, I think so.
What you said about Walt having his head on the clouds, I feel like that's a big part of it, right? The fact that he just didn't have the capacity to, foresee that where the kinks of the operation could be.
Mm.
I agree. He needed a Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. I should have been his partner. I should have been his, I don't know, definitely business partner for sure.
Yeah.
Let's start seeing what we can knock off here, because it feels like a lot.
Sure.
I feel like that we can't take the counterfeit tickets off quite yet, because that was bad. Uh-huh. And I think that caused a lot of chaos. I'm thinking maybe summer tourism can go.
Agree. And maybe extreme heat as well, right?
Yeah.
Because the asphalt would have dried even in the heat if it had been given enough time to dry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm not a asphalt expert, but that sounds right to me.
And summer tourism, it's like they weren't even open to this was like a invite only, so you can't really.
Yeah, I think capitalism can go too, because just like we were just talking about, it wasn't quite such a cash grab. It was more like a man and his dream, mm-hmm. which is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
A man with his dream.
What's scarier, dream capitalism or a man with a dream?
Wow.
Or are they the same thing?
Oh. Head explosion emoji.
Right.
Okay.
I'm thinking power of the television industry is a little, I mean, while there's stuff in there, it seems like a little broad, like for our purposes, like you could zero in more on Dateline versus just like the television industry in general.
I absolutely agree. And I think a rushed construction really goes down to the people who are making the calls, right? The executives. They're, the people who were constructing were clearly doing a great job. They did Disneyland in a year. That sounds wild. I mean, I know that it was always a work in progress, but plumber strike.
Yeah, you got to let those guys off the hook. Though I do think... you got to lay pipe. You have to lay the pipe in order to lay pipe in the terms of like writing. You have to like.
We need drainage. Drainage is really important.
Oh, don't get Chris started about drainage. Huge fan.
We have a problem at our house we had to resolve, which was I spend a lot of time underneath in the crawl space underneath the house.
Oh.
Just making sure everything's running smoothly.
Yes.
You know how sometimes when you guys do these episodes, it's like, oh, it was the perfect storm. Like this happened and then this happened. And it was like this, it was almost like we want to blame coincidence or fate or something. I don't get that vibe here. Mm-hmm. I really think that this was just Walt being like, I can do it. I can do anything. If you put your mind to it, like, like maybe he's singing a little song as he's like, thinks he's invincible. And if you have a dream that you believe in, it will come true. But it's like, yes, but also like you also have to be organized.
Mm-hmm. Walt was too immersed in his own fiction of Disney that he didn't see the reality.
It's possible. See, right. Yeah, like
I
the
think
type.
That's true. Especially even after the fact, Walt was like, well, that was great, huh?
Right. He really never buys even into realized. The magic.
Yeah. I Amanda,
Disney delusion is the what that's called.
Yes, Disney delusion Disney is delusion. Great. Mm. But I also, oh, there's good. Another thing I want to put up based on what Amanda was saying, and something I really dislike as well. Toxic positivity.
Yes.
That's a great yes. one.
Wow.
This is why you need me, people. I feel like I'm gonna cause. Like, this is my cause. We need some realism. None of that toxic positivity. And people like Walt, as great as they were and as big as their dream was, that kind of stuff will get you in trouble.
I think, yeah. Positivity is good. Is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
It can be toxic.
It can be toxic.
It can be toxic. We all know those people. If you're not living in reality. So,
right. Yeah.
I mean, Walt ended up, he pulled it through in the end. Mm-hmm. I will say that because mm-hmm. look at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, very similar to his original vision.
It's true.
But I do think if we're talking specifically about the opening day, he thought if you can believe it, you can accomplish it.
Dream a dream.
Like, sorry, Walt, like, this isn't like an Instagram post, okay? You need to actually get...
You know what kind of bothers me, too, about Walt? Is that his whole idea is the dream a dream, right? But he's not talking about all the people behind him who are making his dreams come true.
Right. A dream is not just a wish your heart makes. It's like all the people who are making that wish come to
yeah it's the Amandas putting on dressing like princesses mm-hmm. and creating that experience for someone else because Walt wanted it
mm-hmm. I mean it's not yeah it's not Cinderella it's you know it's her little birds and her little mice friends
I like that
wow yeah
sewing exactly. her dress
yeah those people don't get enough credit before we decide, because I feel like we're circling in, I think at this point we can take the counterfeit tickets off because I think it's bigger than just like more people showed up than expected to the party.
We can probably take off Entertainment Desert too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like they would go to, you know, the non-Disney park that opened up right next door for open. People wanted to go.
Right.
This was Disney specific, right?
I think the broadcast was a big one, and I think Walt himself was also a big one. Image before function. I feel like the Disney delusion explains that better.
Yeah, that's a way better way to say that.
Yeah. And then toxic positivity. So between these four, what are we going to pick?
I mean, I think we could wrap up toxic positivity into Disney delusion because that's just sort of a more fun way to say that.
Yes, mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And do we wrap that into Disney, Walt Disney himself, the Disney delusion, or vice versa?
All these three things, Dateline, Disney broadcast, Walt Disney executives, and the Disney delusion are all kind of the same thing, which is this, we're sort of just saying that this, the importance of the image of Disney is just, it drove people to insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this idea too, like in every Disney movie, like there's almost too much magic. It's like everything just gets wrapped up so easily, which is not realistic. But
it's not
you
reality.
Want to believe that. It's fun to believe that it could happen that way because it's just much easier that way.
Here's the thing. I feel like we can send Disney delusion to the alarmist jail, but Walt gets away with it again. I feel like he's always just getting
away
with it.
What else has he done?
Yeah, what else has he done?
Well, he was. There is a problematic history with Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a few more alarmist episodes probably
that we can do based on
in
Walt
this area.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to dig into the history here.
Just
I mean,
street.
And let's be honest. Right now, Disney is in the news. I mean, this is a topical. We're talking about the opening of Disney, and while I think this episode is going to come out on the day, actually, that the walkouts are expected for Disney.
Wait, Disney's the employees are trying to form a union?
No, they're protesting Disney's lack of coming out against the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida.
In Florida, yeah.
Because historically, Disney has been more vocal in support you know, of the LGBTQ mm-hmm. community. Yeah. And so for some reason, they're kind of staying mum on this. So very interesting.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. So maybe Disney Delusion is better then, because it seems to continue.
Well, maybe he's the, you know, the birth of Disney Delusion is Walt Disney himself, right? Like he dreamed up this like realistic right. world. So he's encapsulated in Disney Delusion, if that's mm-hmm. what we're sending to the jail.
I think so. And I think a lot of employees that work at Disneyland suffer from Disney Delusion. You know, you're maybe delusional that your company actually cares about you and isn't just looking out for themselves.
Right.
A little bit. But I would vote for Disney Delusion. And then as far as the big slap,
perhaps the broadcast, right?
Yeah, it's just, I think, like, so, because that did get the word. I mean, that literally got the word out to 90 million people. Yeah.
Right. It's true. But I will say that if anybody needs a bit of a cold slap across the face, it's Walt and his big dreams. He's got his head up in the clouds. And what do you do to somebody who's hysterical with their big ideas?
Shake them.
You shake them and give them a clean, quick slap across the face.
At least that's what they would have done in the 1950s. Kiss them on the lips?
You kiss them, then you smack them. Then you shake them, then you kiss them.
These are all options in the 1950s. Okay, I'm going to call it. I like where we're at. Walt Disney and his executives, you're getting the big slap. Disney Delusion, pack your bags. You're going to the alarmist jail.
Okay, the alarmist jail just got a lot more fun.
There's a lot of
bunch of cartoons running around in there.
It's almost not fair for the, you know, really bad people. It's like they shouldn't be having that much fun.
I know.
Amanda, thank you so much for coming back and joining us today. It's like you were an expert, really. We were talking to an expert.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's like two for one with this.
This was such a joy, and thank you for having me back. And I look forward to the day when we can all go to Disneyland together.
Field trip.
Clayton and I can give you sort of an insider's experience.
I can't.
You way more than me. I'm just a fan. You live the life. So, I mean, you I really did. Could
she
live
the Disney life.
And I have the scars to prove it.
After Disneyland's opening, Walt and his staff immediately took the necessary measures to deal with the problems of low ride capacity, congested walkways, traffic jams, and slow food service. The press was invited back for a private second day to experience the true Disneyland. Disneyland Park opened to the public on Monday, July 18, 1955, at 10 a.m. By 2 o'clock in the morning, people were already lining up outside the park's gates. Visit our website and let us know who you think is to blame at www.thealarmistpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram at The Alarmist Podcast and on Twitter at AlarmistThe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with fact-checking by Chris Smith, and editing by Molly Hockey. Additional writing by Anastasia Kousakis. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Alex Paul. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado-Smith and the Erios Network. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing The Last Voyage of the Carluke.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.